I definitely get a sense that, you know, they're tight knit, as you said, and you know, I'm just kind of looking forward to trying to contribute whatever I can on and off the ice, you know, in the dressing room and on the ice. And you know, like I said, they're all pretty easygoing guys and seem like great guys. So, you know, I think I'm gonna fit in nicely.
Welcome back. It's the Big Show in the Morning. We're into hour number two on your Wednesday, and today we are live at the Calgary Flames Celebrity Charity Golf Classic presented by Scotiabank. Today we are up at Country Hills, but there's also some participants down at Glen Eagles up at the Country Hills Golf and Country Club. And now that the darkness has subsided, we can get a look out here. The driving range
looks great.
I can see a green out of the corner here. It looks immaculate. So yeah, we're very excited for this tournament today. There's a whole bunch of sponsors, there's some season ticket members coming down, there's a whole bunch of Flames players, coaches, staff, and NHL celebrities that are also kicking around, a bunch of media types and all that type of thing. So we're very excited about the tournament. We're going to be teeing it up a little bit later on, or at least I am. Danny not, but you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
I gotta go to Stampeders practice. I got places to be.
This guy's got work to do. He's gotta go chat with our next guest, Dave Dickinson, who joins us down the Alice Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Good day, Coach. How are you?
I'm good. I'm jealous. Nice. I was a member of Country Hills back in the late 90s.
Ooh.
Lived right up there, and it was not a super big bill as far as a price tag, and really enjoyed that course.
I'm not going to lie. I was looking at some of the young professional memberships when we rolled in here today. I was like, might have to ask a few people about this. What's your favorite hole on this track here, Dave?
I like the bottom nine, or the link style nine or 18. It's basically, you kind of need to know where you need to go out there. That's the problem. Because you can hit some drives and you'll be like, where's that ball? Because I thought it was perfect. But they got some nice contours, some nice par threes. But drive to the airport up here in the Northwest, you'll see some nice holes for sure right by the road.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, season's coming to an end as well. You hoping to get a few more rounds out? I know you got a bye week a couple weeks away, but it's 3 weeks off. That's going to be tough. And you're awfully busy in this playoff push.
Don't play much during the actual week unless you get a bye, so, or long weeks, something like that. But any round now would be a bonus. But so far, the weather's holding up pretty nice, and ultimately, focused on ball first, and if you get out with the little white ball, that's fine. But other than that, focus on the football.
Well, let's focus on the football. Wanted to talk a little bit about last week in the game, and really just a couple of particulars more so than the game that went on. And one of the guys that I wanted to ask you about is Tommy Stevens, who goes out and he gets the four rushing touchdowns. He lays a massive block that I know a lot of your players were huge fans of, to allow Kadeem Carey to rumble into the end zone for a touchdown as well. Just a thought on maybe guys who are rewarded for doing some of the hard work. You know, he's the third-string quarterback. He's never the top-billed guy, but he goes in, he does the short yardage, which is not necessarily the sexiest gig out there. But the four touchdowns, that's got to be pretty cool for a guy who doesn't always get his name up in the lights.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know how many people out there play like fantasy sports. I'm sure they were probably swearing at me. get the ball to Kadeem. I got him scoring. It's a blowout and you're not giving it the ball. It was one of those where it was situational football. We got in tight. We got a couple PIs and put us down on the one. And I got a lot of faith in Tommy, but he's improving as a quarterback as a whole. You know, that's the thing. Yeah, he knows his role, and he's doing a great job of it. And that's a role like we've always used a backup quarterback in, but we really haven't had a guy like Tommy. And with this addition of being able to play three quarterbacks, really allowed us to keep and develop Tommy as well as in short yardage package, but also as a quarterback. So, yeah, it was a great, a great performance. It's what he's been doing all year. It's just about opportunity. And it just is, that game just seemed to have a lot of them, a lot of first and goals at the one, or or a lot of, 1 yard to go type of situations. And I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, there wasn't a 50-yard scamper on a third and one for Tommy Stevens for any of the touchdowns, but he got them all. the short yardage this season, it feels like it's never a question. If you're anywhere kind of out from the shadow of your own uprights, you feel like Tommy Stevens won't only get you a yard, but he usually it seems like he usually gets you twice, three times what you need. You got to be impressed with what he's been able to do in that role.
Yeah, don't kid yourself, though. When you go for a third and a big yard in your own end of the field, you're nervous because you know how much it could impact the game. Because even if you get it, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to score points, you know. So those are the big decisions. We've had a few of them, and Tommy's converted. And I think it's honestly kind of a mindset with your team that we're here to play aggressive. And ultimately, if they work, I think they can really be a big asset to get that win.
Dave Dickinson joining us here on the morning show. I'm Matt Rose, and joining me today is Danny Austin.
Dave, a win like that, I mean, this team has had a lot of close games this season. You've won most of them, but I this is not a knock on the Elks, but you blew them out. Is that good for this group to just sort of say, hey, what we're doing, it works. You know, we have that proof, going forward.
Yeah, especially when, you know, it was a tough game at Labor Day. I mean, I thought it was still in doubt. I mean, we couldn't really find a way to put them away. And in this game, I was going to say the first half, I thought we were sloppy, to be honest, in all phases. But, you know, we gave up a couple plays and all of a sudden pick six, you know. And then ultimately we block a punt, we score, but then we take the next one off our face mask and we fumble. So it wasn't the cleanest game. It was just a lot of big plays and a lot of great plays, but also some really plays that we know we got to be better at. So as a coach, you're good. You love the win. You're able to play your entire roster. But there was tons of things that you want to do better and coach up. So it really was what we needed. Now we'll see if we can take it into this game against BC.
And encouraging for the group as a whole, I'm sure that Reggie Bagleton does seem to really be coming alive right now, eh?
Yeah, he is. He's been working the same consistent Reggie all year. It's just the ball's finding him more and opportunities are going up. So, we've got a good mix, though. We've got some real speed and talent on the outside, and we've got some of those inside route runners that yak it up in our receiving group. So we're happy with that group. Even though we're a little thin right now, we're just trying to find the right mix. But ultimately, yeah, I think Reggie's games that he's had is put together back-to-back-to-back now has really kind of put him into that level that we thought he'd be at, and he's taken his game ultimately where we need him to be in order to win this thing.
And I do just want to ask about Sean Lemon. For people who may not know, I mean, Sean's an older guy. You guys picked him up at the end of training camp last year. He's sort of blown me away, if I'm being honest with you. And I talked to him a little while ago, and he said he wants to get to 100 sacks. I think he was at about 80 at the time, and it seemed like, you know, that's a big ask. Now all of a sudden he's got 88. I mean, this guy's production has been this has been incredible, has it not?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been productive, though. Sean, in my opinion, when he's played, and he doesn't, I should knock on some wood, he stays healthy. And that's one of the greatest things about certain guys, when you know their availability is not usually in question. Now, anything could happen, but when you're going to rack up stats, that's one of the main things you need is durability. I know myself, I never played an 18-game season. I just couldn't find a way to stay healthy, maybe not tough enough. But him, on the other hand, he just seems to be out there each and every week that we need him. And he does show up on the stat sheet with a big play or two every single game. And, you know, I know he's been fairly consistent, too, and that's been the thing we've been pushing. It's just, hey, keep at it. Know there's a process. Why are you having success? Keep doing the things you're doing and keep making plays for us.
And I think some people in the past have maybe knocked Sean for his run-stopping game, but I feel like that's something that he's really kind of started to excel at this year.
Well, I mean, he's not the biggest man. It's not – Sean doesn't necessarily hold the point, meaning that – if a big man gets on you, can he hold the point? But he's quick enough. He's got good hands. He can, you know, make him miss more. It's a, you know, a certain type of player. Some will hold the point and shed. I mean, if you look at us, our interior guys, Wiggo and T-Mac, are both great at shedding guys. And then you got Rose and maybe Lem. Flo can do it all, but Lem and Rose are more like make a miss. So they get to you and bam, I've swim you so fast, you're not on me anymore. So you just play to your strengths. And ultimately, you got to at times do the hard work. You've got to hold your gap, and you've got to make sure you're stout. So those are the things as a group we know we have to do.
I want to kind of phrase this in a sense that, like, I don't feel like there's any worry with Peyton Logan, but what do you say to a guy after a couple of games where there's been instances where a ball's gone off his face and it he hasn't jumped on it right away? Like, he's a guy that anytime he gets the ball, he looks dangerous, but there's just been a couple instances lately that you go, oh, that's a tough one for a young 23-year-old.
I don't think I have to say too much. I mean, just keep working on your craft. Just keep working on it. He really wasn't a returner before coming here. You know, we made a pretty good returner out of Terry Williams as well. I mean, he wasn't natural catching the ball, but he just kept working and kept working and kept working and became darn good at it. So that's what Peyton just got to do, is keep working on it. You know, kickoffs / punts are much different. The ball travels differently. Ultimately, I think you got to make good decisions. You know, some of his problems have been he's been attacking the ball when it's been one of those things where he can't really settle underneath it. But I do think that, you know, he's got to make sure to clean that up, because we can't have too many of these. And we're probably we're leading the league with some probably big returns, but we're also for sure leading the league on fumbles by our punt returners. So we have to make sure we clean that up.
So looking ahead, you got the Lions coming up, two games. This is one of those ones where if you're anyone's paying attention, I mean, you guys win these two and you're back in second place. Heartbreaking 41-40 loss about a month ago now, but this is a different Lions team. What do you see when you look at this group? Because to be honest, I don't think they looked overly great offensively last weekend.
Well, I mean, you can see that, you know, the quarterback position is the most important position on the field. You know, he's the guy that makes the straw, or he stirs the drink. And, you know, not that they necessarily haven't gotten great play. It's just maybe not the same type of play they got when they had Nathan. So, and the other thing is, confidence is fleeting. Sometimes, you know, when it's there, you know, you can't do any wrong. Anytime they make even a bad decision, if you remember, we threw one into Reggie. It was like, where is that ball? Oh, Reggie's got it. Out he goes for 50 yards. When your things are going well, you make that play. When they're not, though, that's tipped up and intercepted, and all of a sudden you're losing confidence in your group. So I think they've said they're starting Vernon this week. You know, I think he's a darn good player. I think he's a guy that has had success in our league and played well against us in week one. So they have a lot of talent. They have a good group. Defensively, too, I think they're underrated still. They have one of the best D-lines out there, and their back end are ball hawks. So we have to play well. We know we got a great opportunity, though, like you said, Danny. We got a great opportunity here at home first to go in here and see if we can get that win. If we do that, play them again back-to-back, take care of week one and see what happens in week two.
Yeah, and, I mean, Vernon is a guy. I just think, I mean, even back a couple of years now, he's shifty. He's hard to take down. I mean, he has, to be honest, I do think he's arguably played as well against you guys as anybody. Is it just kind of closing in on him and doing the job you got to do correctly?
I think when he's fresh, he's always a problem, too, because he can run so much. It's when he starts getting beat up that he's maybe not quite as dangerous, because, you know, he doesn't have that part of his game as much. So he'll be 100% fresh. He hasn't really played much. He's had enough time now to learn that offense. So, yeah, we know he's going to be dangerous.
John Huffnagel's birthday was yesterday. Did you get him anything nice, or was it the win last weekend? Or you promise him a win upcoming? What was the gambit there?
You got to make sure, if you're going to give a gift, you got to make sure you can deliver on that. So I don't make any
promises. That's
why I said that.
You could have said last weekend's win.
He got so many happy birthdays from the guys, the coaches. I made a point of telling the team, hey, you know, you guys always, you know, say Huff's a tough negotiator. Well, if you want to maybe get that extra, you know, $100 in your contract, wish him a happy birthday. So I think about 50 guys wished him happy birthday. By the end of it, I think he was telling him to get the hell out of here. But it was good. He was, you know, he's been busy. He's been doing lots of league stuff as well. And, so happy birthday to Huff.
Well, that's awesome. And we've got the trade deadline, I guess, nearing on the future. So it was a busy time for John. And playoffs are right around the corner, Dave. We're excited for this game against the Lions on Saturday. Best of luck. And looking forward to seeing you at McMahon the rest of the week as well.
Sounds good, guys. I head straight there, Maddie. And Danny, we'll see you in a bit.
Take care,
you
guys.
Got it. Do what I can. That is Dave Dickinson, the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, who joined us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Sean McEwen also looks like he's going to be healthy. I know we don't love to talk about injuries with Dave Dickinson on that hit. He doesn't love to get into it, so I don't like to bring it up. And
we also I'd rather ask him about
Huffnagel's birthday, literally.
I think it was a great question.
10 times out of 10. I would way rather ask him about Huff's B-Day.
I think it was a great question.
I hope he got some good fly fishing stuff. I assume so.
I mean, I feel like Huff's a man who probably has what he needs. So
That's a really good way to put it.
So, you know, you buy him something thoughtful. You buy him something
With meaning?
Something with meaning that shows that you care.
You know what I do for a lot of gifts nowadays is I like to buy, like, gift cards or take people to things. So I'll be like, I'm taking you to a Hitman game, or I'm taking you to a dinner or whatever it may be, escape room, VR, whatever, because it's an experience. And you create a memory, and that's not going to go anywhere. Whereas material goods just might.
I will say I had a friend whose birthday it was a week and a half ago. I bought a beautiful ceramic bowl.
Yeah.
There's that. But to be honest, like,
that's like a wedding gift.
I know. The thing is, like, you hit a certain age, and honestly, you just buy stuff for people's kids, and you don't have to buy for them. I haven't bought my sister a gift in years. Her kids get lots.
I don't really know many people with kids. I think the only person I really know with kids is, like, Ryan Pinder, and that's...
I don't know what that means, but if you believe me, you'll be my age one day.
Yeah, I guess. A few years off. Our chat with the head coach, Dave Dickinson, really enjoyed that chat. We are live here at the Calgary Flames Celebrity Charity Golf Classic. And listen, this is all in support of the Flames Foundation, who have done a lot. Just looking at the COVID-19 community support and some of the other program partners that they've worked with, you look at the Calgary Drop-In Center. They served 3 meals a day plus snacks for up to 900 people per day with some of the funds that they gave to the Drop-In Center. With ICANN for Kids, they helped provide 500 grocery gift cards to help feed over 1,000 hungry kids and make 7,800 grab-and-go food packs. You look at the Alex, which had 876 first-time visitors and almost 1,500 curbside pickups. 92% of visitors said the Alex Community Health Center was an important source of healthy food during the pandemic. So just little things like that to help with our community.
It's good people doing good things. Who doesn't love it? It's, honestly, they do important work, and they help a ton of people out in Calgary and the surrounding areas. It's amazing to see, and I think it's part of why we're happy to be here.
Yes, we certainly are, and we're going to effort to talk to some people involved with the Flames Foundation and just look at this tournament a little bit, one of the key fundraisers for the Flames Foundation every single year. We'll take a break, and around the corner, we'll dive into it and hopefully wrangle up a few guests for you here from the tournament right here on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Ooh, welcome back. It is The Big Show in the morning, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Midway through the program, a little bit of a programming note. What you want to talk about is going to be a little earlier today. We're going to do it about 8:20, just because we got to skedaddle a little bit early with some of the goings-on at this tournament.
You got to play. You got to tee off.
I wasn't going to say it, but okay.
All right, well, I didn't realize.
But yes, we got some stuff to do. So what you want to talk about is going to be a little bit early. We're going to get some of the guests that are starting to roll in. See, this is a key part of the tournament, Danny, for us being the media personnel, because you won't know this because you've done, what, 2 weeks of this? This is your second week that you've done morning, like, long-form radio?
Yeah, this is like, all a new experience.
Apart from this last week you did, which was, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yep.
And then these couple days we're doing, you've done, what, maybe a couple of long-form interviews? Have you ever sat in for even a full hour on a show?
No, I think, to be honest, I mean, you guys, they're generally, what, 20 minutes that we're doing with interviews with,
yeah,
with,
give or
with
take.
Media guests.
And so that's kind of changed. Like, in the last couple of years, we changed our format from 3 segments an hour, so you were doing 10 to 12-minute interviews, to 2 segments an hour, which upped our interview length from about 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've done a fair number of those over the years. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I've done a couple go on, and people just asked me to stay on for another half hour. But, I mean, in terms of, like, having any duties as a co-host, which I will be real. I mean, you've been carrying a lot of the weight here. I give you a lot of the credit. I'm not doing the morning report. I'm not. I'm kind of more the reaction guy.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like when it's a situation where you got a guy who doesn't work in the broadcast, that's all. That's all we need. Just someone with a pulse to chirp in a little bit once or twice, and off we go.
Yeah,
no problem.
Well, I mean, I'd like to think that, you know, as we progress, I get better. I don't know if that's true.
Well, you learn, right? You learn lessons. You learn rules of thumb type of things like that, like broadcast rules of thumb. Like this, for instance, when you're working like an event like this and you're hoping to interview attendees, there's a couple of keys. A,
can I guess at one of them?
Sure. By all means, you can fire away.
They have to actually have arrived for us to speak to them.
Okay, well, that's a good starting point, is A, you want the guests to arrive. I thought that was a little bit of a given, but sure. This is a perfect example, because that's very surface level, and now me, the professional, I'm going to give you an actual tip.
Okay.
So A, you want to try and position your setup between the entrance and whatever food or drink is being served.
Which I think
major key.
See, and I didn't even think of that. I just came and sat at the table that said Sportsnet 960.
Exactly. You don't think. So today we are just on the other side of the bar and the food, but the door is on the other side as well. So that's a bit of an issue, right?
Well, I think people have to walk past the registration and to us to get the breakfast. The breakfast smells delicious. I got to be honest with you guys. I'm hungry, and it's affecting me.
That's what I was going to say. So now we're not by the breakfast, but we are by the registration. Now, the registration's a little tough here, too, because a lot of people registered yesterday. So there's not going to be as much foot traffic coming through this area.
Okay.
So that's another key.
Well, why don't we just send out a message? Look, if you're Blake Coleman and you're driving in, listen to Sportsnet 960, as I'm sure you do. Hey, Blake, come say hi.
See, here's the problem. That's going to do the opposite of work.
Okay.
Blake is probably going to turn around and go to Glen Eagles now. He's like, you know what? No, I really, if that's what I'm going to be wrangled into, like, I
just
want
to talk to him about
golf,
his shoes. He's got such a good sneaker game.
Okay, continue to do that. Maybe that'll dangle a little carrot out there. Tell him that you love his shoes, and maybe
Blake, you were wearing Jordan 1s at your end of season press availability last year. And they were so sweet, and I tweeted about them. And to be honest, your wife retweeted me, so which meant a lot. That was cool. Blake, come talk to me about your shoes.
You're a big shoe guy, aren't you?
I do like shoes.
Do you think Blake Coleman has the best shoe game on the Calgary Flames?
Now, to be fair, we only really get to see them
in flip-flops.
In flip-flops. So what I have been told,
Slides and socks.
I don't want to. What I have been told is that Sean Monahan had one of the, like, just a world-class sneaker collection. I don't know if that's true. I did notice a couple times, you know, that he was wearing some pretty fly sneaks. I don't know if I could pull off fly sneaks. I'm dating myself a little bit. But honestly, Blake Coleman, he was wearing Jordan 1s, and they were so sick last year. They were just unbelievable. You know, hard to get. So
also
particularly
important
during the pandemic, when top sneaker shops across the country, they generally transition to an online raffle rather than sort of going and waiting in line.
Sure.
So it was luck of the draw.
Bully literally. By Mitchell's. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, literally luck of the draw. It was a draw.
Right on. As well, Bully by Mitchell, we've seen his shoe collection before.
Doesn't mess around.
You don't like it?
No, you love it. He does not mess. I mean,
he's got a whole room for it.
He has, and I mean, he apparently will often
Do you think the girls have to be in the same room now because Bo has a shoe room? You think his two daughters have to bunk together now?
We know Bo's contract. I think he's got rooms for each kid. Bo. But that's the reality. I mean, it's also part of the thing that's fun about this golf tournament is we actually get to see these guys, if not in their natural habitat, outside of the locker room, not wearing flip flops, not, you know, decompressing from a game. So, you know, look, I can just sit here and do fashion talk for the next hour.
Yeah, I know you could. That's for sure. It's a lot of fun just kind of hanging out here, getting. And I think one of the things that I love about being around the players here is that you haven't lost any games yet, so everyone's in a pretty good mood, all things considered.
I don't think the Flames are going to lose a game all year.
All year.
Well, I'm just making sure that as Blake Coleman drives in, he's hearing what nice things I'm saying, and he's more likely to come talk to us.
Very happy to be joined by some of the guests here as we're getting into the Calgary Flames Celebrity Charity Golf Classic. And Kevin Webster, Kidsport, joins us. Good day, Kevin. How are you? Oh, let me turn on your microphone. There we go. Try again.
Doing good, guys. How are you?
Good. We're doing really well. I hope the volume works there for you. Thanks for coming out to Country Hills. You got to be excited. This is one of the premier events of the year.
Yeah, we're thrilled to be here as one of the Flames Foundation's charity partner. We bring our team out here and volunteer and help out for the day. This is definitely one of the best charity golf tournaments on the tour for sure.
Yeah, and I was just looking here. Last season, it was $300,000 from the Flames Foundation to Kidsport Canada's Flames hockey programs. That's just the hockey programs. It's a pretty big donation, a pretty big chunk of money for you guys. Can you just tell us about the partnership with the Flames and how it's progressed to this point?
Yeah, it's they're definitely a foundational partner of what we're able to do on a yearly basis. Not only what they do in the funding side, but just in raising profile for our organization, connecting us with families that need us. We have our Flame Sports Bank, which provides no-cost equipment. So they have their name on that, which we're very proud of, as they are. That's, you know, this year helped over 3,000 kids with pieces of equipment at no cost to them. And then they helped through the Flames Even Strength program, which is a partnership with the Flames Foundation, Kidsport, and Hockey Calgary. Where we help hundreds of kids play the game of hockey each year in this city that otherwise couldn't afford it.
We did our slow pitch tournament a few weeks back, and I met Jeff from the sports bank there. Can you just tell us about how the two groups kind of merged and how that has helped really everybody?
Yeah, so the originally Comrie Sports Bank, through the leadership of Al Coates and Bill Comrie, founded in 2014. Kidsport was one of the founding partners, along with the Flames Foundation, Hockey Calgary. As the organization progressed, we were doing very similar things, Kidsport and Comrie Sports Bank. So in 2019, both boards came together, put together one board to lead the combined organization. Our staff combined created some capacity internally to help more kids and find some efficiencies. We wanted to make sure a kid coming to get equipment knew that they could get registration fees, and a kid needing registration fees knew they could access no-cost equipment. So it was really a no-brainer. So 2019 in the fall, we finalized that. And then as we unfortunately went through the last couple years, we didn't quite see everything in terms of the benefits that we could, but now we're definitely seeing it. The month of August alone, we helped close to 300 kids get hockey gear with a couple of big outfitting days that the Flames and the Flames alumni were involved in, where we had 30, 40 kids go through the shop in one day. So it takes in donated equipment and new equipment from the community, and we make sure it's in good quality and get it out to kids that need us most and make sure they're ready to go for hockey season.
And just, I mean, I guess big picture, I mean, the cost of sport can be prohibitive for so many families, so it's such important work. I mean, what else can people do to kind of get involved and help out?
We're really grassroots, so volunteering. You can donate empties from your household, you can become a monthly donor, you can get your company involved, you can join one of our many great events like the slow pitch event. We're going to have some exciting news coming up later this week around an event that's been a staple for many years. It may involve pizza.
Oh, I had a feeling that's what it was.
We have a ton of events throughout the year that we're fortunate, and Sportsnet's a huge part of most of those that not only help us raise funds but connect us with the community, and we've missed out on that the last few years and being able to have those conversations and make sure people knew how they can get involved. So really any way that you can think of, we have ways for you to help out, from working at the shop, volunteering, to helping outfit kids, to donating equipment, you name it, we can get you involved.
Now, if you're an individual that might be on the other side of the ledger, perhaps, someone who might need some of this gear, can you just give a little bit more information as to maybe some upcoming events or where they might be able to find some more information on that side of things?
Yeah, we're constantly working on the outreach side to make sure if there's a family out there that needs us that they learn about our program. So anyone listening can be an advocate for what we're doing and talk to people on their team and their community and their dance studio, gym, martial arts, you name it, the sport, we've helped the kid play. So if there's families in your community that you know need help, then get them connected to us. It's kidsport.ca/Calgary. Our application button's right in the top-hand corner. That application's a one-pager. They have to submit some household information, and then we can get them access to both $500 and registration fees as well as no-cost equipment.
I think one of the biggest things is events like this. We're all inside. We're all hanging out. We're all getting back together. How big has that been for your organization to be able to do these events more like they used to be?
Yeah, just to be able to thank people and share with them the impact that we're having and remind them, you know, who we are and why they're supporting us. We've been, you know, since late July, probably 25 events, which is, you know, back into a little more of the rhythm that we would have been used to in 2019, and something that, you know, raises critical dollars, but also just a chance to recognize the work we're doing with many of the supporters that are happy to help us.
So you're getting out today? You're going to go play?
I am a walking scorekeeper, so I'll be caddying in the nice Masters white outfit. I love it.
This you have this, the big sign?
No sign, just the scorecard. And, it. You know, with the groups that are involved in this, they obviously are very tied to the community and big Flames fans. So it's great for us to be able to be here and as a small way to thank the Flames Foundation for all the work they do for us. And it's always a great day, and we have fun doing it.
It's going to be pretty cool seeing a lot of the players back, because last year was a lot of alumni and kind of management and, like, away from the team. But this is different. This is going to be back to a little bit normal, like the actual players here, kind of chill. Like I was saying to Danny before you sat down, nobody's lost yet this year, so there's that.
That's
it's going to be a little bit of a different vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, and the format with six people in your group, it's everyone's got a chance to score well and contribute, which is fun. So even the scorekeepers, we can help out there. Read a green or, you know,
oh, yeah, that's what you mean. Yeah, not with an eraser.
No,
that's
no,
different. Yeah, okay, that's right. Kevin, appreciate the time today. Enjoy the day. We look forward to, you know, continue to work with you as we move forward here.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for coming on, man.
There you go. That is Kevin Webster from Kidsport. Does
awesome.
A great job.
Amazing foundation. Amazing work. I will say also, just looking around, it's sort of incredible at this event, the number of volunteers who are here.
Well, so many people to make these things work, Danny.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes shout out volunteers. Just taking a second to appreciate it, because it's kind of incredible. I've had a couple volunteers kind of come up and say hi, who I happen to know through the larger sporting community.
Yeah,
and there really are a lot of people who are taking time out to
Well, and there's
come and
even
help.
Like a lot of the Flames employees that I recognize from office work that are here running the registration and doing all those sorts of things. So it's been really cool to see a lot of people come through. We've seen a few individuals. We got Ryan Leslie and Eric Francis having
Francis,
a chat over here.
Incredible baby blue outfit.
Yeah, he is rocking the baby blue today. I saw Jordan Sigalette came through a little bit earlier on. He was getting himself all registered and saying hi to all the people, too. Of course, the goaltending, not the goaltending coach anymore, but the director of the goaltending department for the Calgary Flames, Jason LaBarbera, now being the actual goaltending coach for the team, and Sigalette taking over a little bit more of an upper echelon type of role. And actually, I'm pretty excited to see a couple of the goaltenders. If we're talking about anything that I'm the most excited for with this Young Stars, it might be another look at Dustin Wolf, which is kind of silly because, like, you know, Dustin Wolf was rookie of the he was the goalie of the year in the AHL, and
he's good.
He's going back to Penticton to play in the Young Stars. I don't think it's necessarily like, okay, he really needs to show the organization that he can perform here, but it's also like, okay, let's get this guy some reps, and maybe it's a sense of him just wanting to be like, hey, I want to get back at it, and I'm chomping at the bit.
It's also fun. I mean, there's a lot of hockey in this town that this relates to the Wranglers. It's just going to be awesome to be able to actually see that guy play this season going forward.
Yeah, and the other thing that I did want to add as well is the other goaltender that is participating, the Russian, who I'm also excited to see, Daniil Chechelev, who is a former pick who won the USHL Goalie of the Year while also getting suspended twice for some feistiness. Oh, right on. Well, also hearing that from down the line that Nazem Kadri is about to speak to the media. Let's have Nazem Kadri join the program. Good morning, Naz. How we doing,
yeah,
Nazem Kadri?
Hi, guys.
Hey, man, what's going on? You just driving up to Country Hills?
Yeah, just heading up there to play some golf. So ready for the day. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, it's awesome to chat with you. I can tell you that there has been a lot of excitement in this town about you joining the Calgary Flames, and it's been a little while since you signed the contract. I'm sure you've had a little bit of time for things to sink in, but how has it kind of felt with the fan base, understanding you're going to be a part of the team and kind of welcoming you to Calgary?
For sure. I mean, well, I think the excitement's mutual. So, you know, I'm excited to be here and be part of the organization and, you know, just received lots of overwhelming support from the fans and, you know, my teammates and everybody involved. So, like I said, I'm just looking forward to starting the season.
So I know there's been some kind of informal type of skates. Have you met most of your teammates for the upcoming season at this point?
I have, yeah. So it was nice to just kind of get in the dressing room and meet all the guys. And, you know, of course, I've been texting everybody and you know, all that. And they welcomed me to the team as soon as they heard, which I appreciated. But, you know, face-to-face was the first time yesterday, and it's always nice to kind of get that over with.
One of the things that we've heard about this group is that they're a tight-knit group, especially when we just kind of look at the age range, how a lot of them have played together for a while. Did you feel that camaraderie quite quickly, kind of getting involved with the group chats and meeting some of these guys at the skates?
Absolutely, for sure. I mean, I definitely get a sense that, you know, they're tight-knit, as you said, and you know, I'm just kind of looking forward to trying to contribute whatever I can on and off the ice, you know, in the dressing room and on the ice. And, you know, like I said, they're all pretty easygoing guys and seem like great guys. So, you know, I think I'm going to fit in nicely.
With that being said, I mean, there are a fair number of new faces here as well. You know, does that make it easier for you as a new guy as well, coming in knowing that there's, you know, a bunch of people trying to kind of figure out, you know, where they fit, how it all works?
I think so, you know, to a certain extent, for sure. I mean, I've known a few guys from before, so, you know, as long as you know one or two, it always makes the transition a little bit smoother. But, you know, for the new guys coming in, you know, from my conversations with them, they're, you know, they're eager to get going, and they're pretty easygoing guys, and I think, you know, that chemistry is going to show, you know, relatively early.
I mean, you had a pretty special offseason, obviously. At what point did it turn from, you know, reflecting and sort of being able to celebrate the, you know, winning a Stanley Cup, an amazing thing that you accomplished, to sort of saying, okay, I'm ready to play hockey again?
I think when you start to approach September, I mean, that's when, you know, you're kind of, you know, finished with the off-ice antics and just want to start, you know, competing and playing for real. So, you know, over the last couple of weeks, you know, we obviously kind of got to dial in and focus and get ready for training camp. But it's been a busy summer for me. I'd probably have it no other way. But, you know, just sitting at the end of the summer reflecting on everything that happened, I'm just, you know, grateful to have the opportunity and, you know, looking to do it again.
And you're all settled here? You got a place? Have you figured out that side of your life here?
Yeah. We're all set up. I mean, it took some time and, you know, I was kind of racing against the clock there for a little bit just because of the late signing. But thankfully, we got situated, and it's nice to finally be here and kind of get organized.
So the summer for you, was there anything else going on? Like, obviously, you make a humongous decision on your future, but you do anything else this summer that you kind of said, that was a great thing for me to do after winning the Stanley Cup? You know, obviously, I bet the day with the cup was pretty cool. But what else did you get up to in the off season?
Yeah, I mean, you always try to put aside some time to, you know, just rest and relax and, you know, have kind of a mental reset. So we actually flew to Europe and had a nice little Euro trip for a couple weeks and, you know, kind of really enjoyed myself out there. And just it was an opportunity to, like I said, just reflect on the year and, you know, let my mind and body rest. So it was definitely necessary and something that was probably one of the highlights of my summer.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, we're excited to see you here at the Calgary Flames Celebrity Charity Golf Classic. Excited to see you in the Flames Silks as we get closer to the season. Safe travels to the golf course. We'll see you in a little bit, and enjoy the rest of your short off season, I guess.
All right, guys. Thank you. See you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, there you go. That's Nazem Kadri, the new Flames forward. Going to be wearing number 91. We know that.
Like that?
Going to be playing center. We know that. Apart from that, a lot of options for wingers, line mates, all sorts of things, power play, penalty kill, you name it. Like, I think this is someone that, A, Flames fans probably are very aware of everything that he does, but B, you're probably very excited to have him. He's one of those guys, you hate him when he's not on your team, and you kind of love him when he is, unless he's taking some bad.
I mean, my thing is, I look back and I think back to the conversations earlier in the off season, and I mean, Kadri's name would come up, and we'd all sort of be like, "I don't think it can happen. I don't think it can happen."
I didn't think it was going to happen either. I said it many times.
And I mean, I know I'm just sort of preaching to the choir here, but I mean, it really is a big deal that a player of that caliber is going to be probably on the second line. I mean, I, to be honest, I do sometimes think that, you know, the whole we hate him when he's on the other team can be overstated a little bit. Yeah, he's a pest, but he's also just a flat-out good hockey player who does a lot of different things. And I think he's just such a huge addition for this team. And, you know, when it happens, it becomes normalized pretty quickly. But, you know, we're still a month out from the start of the regular season. I just can't wait to see the guy play and can't wait to see what he brings to this organization, this city. Obviously, he's, you know, a very interesting figure off the ice. You know, I just think it's great.
7 years for the 31-year-old. I'm excited to see how this season goes. Like, I'm chomping at the bit to watch this team play. And I'm like, I'm not excited for the preseason because I know a lot of them aren't going to play, but I'm probably still going to get fired up for it anyways. I mean, but above all, October 13th.
Am I wrong? I believe you said yesterday that you were literally having people over to watch the Young Stars game on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's maniacal, baby.
But also...
it's not normal.
But also, I'm jonesing, Danny. I am jonesing. You know what? The World Juniors in August did not sate my palate. I am starved for hockey at this point.
Well, and I mean, again, I say this as a guy who didn't grow up in Calgary, and I hope that gives me... like, this Flames team is legitimately, arguably, the most interesting team going into the regular season. I mean, there's a reason why we're all fascinated and excited for it.
Let's just see if this thing works now.
It has such cool potential, but we don't know what it's going to look like. So I don't fault you for that, even if I will be, because I'm not a dork, doing something else with my Friday night.
Wow, that was right in the teeth, hey? Dork, hey? Okay, right on. Listen, we're going to take a break. I believe that Jordan Siglett is going to stop by. We're going to talk some goalies and ask him, does Dustin Wolf just really like Penticton, or what's going on there? That's all coming up next as we continue into hour number three. You're listening to Sportsnet 960 The Fan.